Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. It is September 30th. I'm Garrett, your host, joined this week once again by Brad and Wade.
Hello.
Hello.
How you guys doing?
Doing well. Yeah. How are you?
Pretty good.
I'm doing okay. My computer is misbehaving, but you knew that already.
I did.
And my drone was misbehaving, but you knew that already.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I've seen the video.
Yeah, you like that?
I did like that.
It's high quality content right there.
Link will be in the show notes. It was a very sad video.
It was entertaining.
It was very entertaining.
So,
it's slow motion with a very sad song.
I didn't have time to find a sad song. I just found some no rights protected kind of repeating, I don't know,
but sad songs, riff. They say so much.
So for our listeners who haven't seen the video, I got the drone back together and took it to the local park and
temporarily
flied it and quickly flight made it. Flight it. Yes, I still English it. Good. Okay. Flight it.
You English very much good.
Yes. This week is many much good. And flight number one was going so well. It started with a lot of positivity and hope. And that quickly was dashed. So it's grounded. Replacement parts are on approach.
And again.
Hopefully I'll get those on Monday.
So at what number of replacement parts will you have an entire new drone? Just out of curiosity. You've got to be getting close.
Now.
No, because I'm replacing broken stuff. I will have a few extra pieces. Well, maybe just one from this parts list. Because I'm not buying a whole new frame. I'm only buying the couple pieces that I need.
I think what he's asking is, by the current pace, at what time do you think of all the parts you're
replaced? Completely replaced all the parts.
Yes.
Well, let's see. I've replaced 3 speed controllers now. I've replaced 1 frame arm and the frame tail. I've had to replace the flight controller. However, that was no cost to me. So I'm getting there.
Very soon, apparently.
Yeah,
I'm getting
yeah.
there.
And all the propellers. Forget that.
Well, those are kind of a given. If you look at anybody flying RC copters, it's pretty much take the number of props you think you'll need.
And triple it.
And times 100, and you might have enough for the first weekend. Assuming the frame doesn't break. So. Yeah, I have more props on order, too. Because my wall of shame is starting to grow substantially.
I see a place right there. You just start mounting these things.
Yeah, potentially. But it is what it is. Anyway, enough about
yes.
me. Actually, not enough about me. This weekend, I get to celebrate being old. I get to celebrate the ranks of Brad and many, many others who have come before me. I will be turning 30 on Sunday.
Yay!
Hooray! I have no excuse to misbehave anymore. But that does never stop me, so it's fine.
I've paved the way before you. Follow in my footsteps.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Yep. No problem.
And that about does it for me, I think. Wade, what's up with you?
Well, found out that there is a Gamergate meetup going to be held in L.A. this weekend. I did not get to go to the one in San Francisco. It was the one I wanted to go to earlier. So today I requested the 4th of October off so I could head up to L.A. to join in the fun of this one.
San Francisco would be a heck of a distance.
Yeah, I was contemplating taking a plane ride there and hoteling it for a day or two, but cards didn't play out.
That happens sometimes.
Yeah, well, at least I found one that's easier to get to, and it's relatively, it's like right around the corner.
Pretty much.
So, yay.
Nice. Brad, you? We only have a few things to talk about.
Yeah, no, it's been kind of quiet around here. Yeah, no, not really. So, last Friday, we purchased our new house.
Woohoo!
Yep. And we've spent the weekend pretty much getting the big stuff in place. I'd say we are a good 3/4 of the way moved in, which, considering we are only 5 days into owning this house, I'd say is a fairly good pace.
At what point did you have to crack open the whip?
Crack open a whip? I've never heard of having to crack open a whip. Crack open a bottle of wine, maybe.
No, to when he had to start using the whip to get everyone moving.
That would be cracking the whip, not cracking open.
Well, he'd have to crack open the box to get the whip.
There you go. No, I haven't been the one cracking the whip. Actually, things have been progressing. We've all been pitching in and getting stuff done. So, as of Monday, I've had to go back to work. I'm working out of the home office now, or my home office, not the home office. So during the day, I'm working and on work. And then when work is over, there's a small list of things that need to be done, and we get them done, and it's actually been going very smoothly. So no complaints. We're actually, I've got my recording laptop hooked up via my iPhone to talk to you at the moment, because we still don't have internet access here.
Nice.
That should come tomorrow.
Woohoo! Internet access, always a good thing.
The kids are dying. There's no internet.
Nice.
So,
very good.
We're getting there. Yep.
Nice, nice. Let's see. Well, yeah. Should we get into some movies then?
Do the movies. Let's do the movies with the other sound effect.
That was the wrong one.
There we go.
Something's wrong here.
Fat fingers. So, three major movies to talk about this week, although one of them I think we talked about last week, but I think it was a result of a limited release last week and now a nationwide release this week. And that movie is Sicario. I believe we talked about it. If not, I've seen so many trailers on it, I think that we had. But it is in the lawless border area stretching between the U.S. and Mexico. An idealistic FBI agent, played by none other than Emily Blunt, is enlisted by an elite government task force official, who is Josh Brolin, a.k.a. Thanos, to aid in the escalating war against drugs, led by an enigmatic consultant with questionable past, a.k.a. Benicio del Toro, a.k.a. The Collector. The team sets out on a clandestine journey, forcing Kate to question everything she believes in order to survive. This is rated R for all the adults out there. It is rated at 92%. So very, very hopeful if you're into the law, drug enforcement type stuff going on. I can say I'm curious about this movie. However, I'm not very hopeful for its debut weekend because of the second movie in our list this week. And that is the fairly widely anticipated movie, The Martian.
Coyote.
Wiley Coyote. So, The Martian. So, during a manned mission to Mars, astronaut Mark Watney, played by Matt Damon, is presumed dead after a fierce storm and left behind by his crew. But Watney has survived and finds himself stranded and alone, that's kind of what stranded means, on the hostile planet. With only meager supplies, he must draw upon his integrity, wit, and spirit to subsist and find a way to signal the Earth that he is alive. Millions of miles away, NASA and the team of international scientists work tirelessly to bring the Martian home. He and his crewmates concurrently plot on a daring, if not impossible, rescue mission. As these stories and incredible bravery unfold, the world comes together to root for Watney's safe return, based on the best-selling novel, blah, blah, blah. But will be directed by Ridley Scott. This also features the likes of Kristen Wiig, Jeff Daniels, Kate Mara, and Jessica Chastain. It is PG-13, so a little bit better for the whole family, and rated at 92%. So,
I'm excited,
which I'm happy about. Yeah, I mean, this had a lot of momentum, you know, being built up based on the book, and the book is, I've heard through many, many people, it is utterly fantastic. And it was one of those movies that you hope the critics didn't watch it and just hated it, because you really wanted it to be a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And looks like the critics are saying it is. And 99% of people want to see it. The other 1% didn't vote. So I definitely see that in my future. The last movie to talk about, I think, is getting a slightly smaller release. It is not showing up. There it is. It is called The Walk, starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt. The Walk is a true story of a young dreamer, Felipe Petit, and a band of unlikely recruits who together achieve the impossible, an illegal wire walk in the immense void between the World Trade Center towers. With little more than nerve and blind ambition, Petit and his ragtag crew overcome daunting physical obstacles, betrayals, countless close calls, and overwhelming odds to beat the system and execute their mad plan. Also, this movie features the likes of Ben Kingsley, amongst a few others. It is rated PG for the family and is at 86% for the critics. So, pretty solid weekend for stuff coming out. And as far as quality goes,
teach your kids to follow their dreams, even if it's illegal.
With enough determination, even that can be possible. Yeah, I've seen trailers on this. It looks fairly well done. I've seen some of the live tightrope stuff. There was that guy, what, a year or so ago that did it over the Grand Canyon or something. It was like live on Discovery or something like that. I forget. Anyway, box office this week, Hotel Transylvania 2 takes top at $48.5 million. Not too shabby, given a 52% critic rating.
Fun note, if you combine it with his other movie, Pixels, Adam Sandler still made, what was that, $48.5 billion?
That's $48.5 million for this movie for the opening weekend.
I'm just saying Pixels is horrible.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
So if you pair that up with Pixels, he made $48.5 million. Number two this week is The Intern at 56% critic rating. It took in $17.7 million. Maze Runner The Scorch Trials pulled in an additional $14.3 million, and Everest pulled in $13.2 million. Excuse me. Long day. Anything else? Movies coming up. Also, to be mindful of Pan and the new Steve Jobs movie with Michael Fassbender, who was Magneto in the X-Men First Class movies.
None are intriguing to me.
The Steve Jobs early teaser, high critic rating so far. So,
might be worth the watch. Honestly, I'm bored.
Are you?
This is what, the fifth Steve Jobs movie?
It's the second mainstream one, at least.
Oh.
So, I mean, you had the Ashton Kutcher one recently that tanked.
Right. No, I think there's been more than two. I think this is more than the second. It's at least the third, maybe the fourth.
Maybe. This one, at least from the trailers, though, seems like it maybe paints him a little bit more accurately. I know with the Ashton Kutcher film, a lot of people said they left out a lot of aspects of his life that, and tried to, you know, just paint the good side of him and not the real side of him.
Right.
This one, at least from the trailers, makes it seem a little bit more honest.
Okay.
I'm only getting, in terms from IMDb, two. One which we were talking about, which released in 2015, and the other one which was released in 2013.
Okay, so according to Wikipedia, you have Steve Jobs, the one coming out. Then you have The Man in the Machine, which is a documentary that was this year. You have the Ashton Kutcher version. And then you have Jobs' The Lost Interview, a 2012 documentary. There was a Billion Dollar Hippie, a 2011 documentary. And One Last Thing, a 2011 documentary. So one of those was PBS, one was BBC.
There's been a lot.
I mean, three of those are documentaries. This is a biographical depiction. So
It's getting really good reviews, apparently. IMDb gave it a 6.4 out of 10. 91%.
That's not awesome, but it's 91%. That's
91% on Rotten Tomatoes and 84% on Metacritic.
Yeah. So, if you're interested, I am more interested in seeing this version than the Ashton Kutcher version. I'm not a big fan of Ashton, and consequently did not see that movie.
Me either.
I
said me either.
Yeah. So, there's that. Okay. Let's jump into the news now, shall we?
First up this week in Apple news, iOS 9 is going strong. Their latest release has been a resounding success, getting the usual high uptake that Apple gets. With one notable exception this time around, there's a new feature that is in iOS 9 that is killing everybody's data consumption. And by killing, I mean excessively using.
Okay.
So if you are noticing a sudden increase in your data usage, the new feature is called Wi-Fi Assist and is intended to be a bridging feature. You know how sometimes you get to the edge of your Wi-Fi coverage area, like at home, and sometimes it's a little spotty?
Yes.
Well, Wi-Fi Assist allows the phone to drop back to cellular while still maintaining Wi-Fi settings. Now, what I mean by that is you can go in and determine which apps have Wi-Fi access and which apps have cellular data access. For instance, Netflix. You may not want to use your cell phone connection for that and only stream over Wi-Fi. Well, with Wi-Fi Assist, during that brief period of time when your Wi-Fi coverage is a little spotty and it will drop back to cellular but maintain the connection as if it was on Wi-Fi. So if you're streaming a Netflix video and you're moving around the house, there's a good chance that you will drop back to a cellular connection and continue streaming because it's maintaining Wi-Fi settings.
Well, that sucks.
It'll burn through your data.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, so fortunately they did think to include a toggle switch for this one. So if you have noticed that your cell usage has gone sky high, if you go into settings and into the cellular menu, at the very bottom, after the list of all the apps that are allowed to use cellular, there is a toggle switch that says Wi-Fi Assist. Turn that off.
Fantastic. Public service announcement for you slimy, slimy Apple users.
There you go. Hey, wait a minute. that then puts you back to the way it was on previous versions, where if you get into a spotty Wi-Fi coverage area, you just drop your Wi-Fi. That's the end of it.
The way the world should work.
Exactly.
No gray area.
Oops.
Okay. coming from things that may eat your Wi-Fi data or cellular data, the things that if you're watching will eat your cellular data if you're not on Wi-Fi. Twitch announced some new updates for their streaming service and site, which puts them into Google or YouTube's competition, apparently, since YouTube now announced that or allowed streaming through its site. Twitch has been kind of, how do I say this, scared of the competition. Some new updates include the Twitch app for the PlayStation, and I guess this is the PlayStation 4, Whisper 2.0, which is the private chat, which used to run in public chat, but only you could see it, but now it's its own separate chat window.
Sounds like an IRC type interface, if it, either one of you remember those days.
Better.
I do.
You can create video playlists, just like YouTube. And new and improved videos, such as the customization of thumbnails for your past broadcast and highlights, what you can do on YouTube, a full HTML5 video player, which is upgrade from what they were using, some weird flash upgrade thing, and the ability to upload your videos directly to Twitch without streaming, aka YouTube.
Good. I mean, am I the only one that thinks this is good?
No, competition is always good.
Yeah. I mean, Amazon, a giant, buys Twitch. They're seeing how successful YouTube is. Now, I know people that try to stream on YouTube, and a lot of viewers complain the way, I guess, YouTube's got a really bad chat interface or something. I know the donations through the YouTube thing, they take more than Twitch does right now. So there's a lot of people who complain about that. But yeah, I mean, if Twitch is implementing all these features to allow, you know, competition to Google, then great. The only question is now, what are they going to do for the content creators to make it more appealing for them to bridge over? If they're not already.
Twitch was definitely feeling it. I know that there were some of the people that I watch on YouTube videos, and they used to do streaming on Twitch since streaming was allowed on YouTube. They were streaming on YouTube, and yeah, I think Twitch was really starting to feel it. I said, guys, we need to do something because YouTube is beating us on all fronts now. And the way the the chat system worked, it would actually post your chat input as a comment later when the live stream became a video at the end of the live stream.
Oh, that's weird.
I think. I'm not
sure
on that.
I think it's a good thing. I think YouTube has been king for too long with no meaningful contenders to take that crown. Twitch has always had a more of a niche market with the live streaming. They've done live streaming better than YouTube does, but YouTube has had the market cornered on stored video content. And I'm excited to see what Twitch can do getting into that market. There's a very real chance that YouTube will just squash it. But I don't think there's ever a case where competition is bad for the consumer. So, you know, even if Twitch, you know, this new feature of Twitch gets squashed in the long term, there's going to be a shakeup in the process that maybe YouTube will wake up, because I have heard similar things that the content creator interface is not as user friendly. and they don't have as good a terms as Twitch does. So, you know, a little bit of a shakeup's a good thing.
I completely agree. Now, not saying there's anything wrong with YouTube. Obviously, we like YouTube considerably. But it's good to see another, you know, potential titan step up to the plate. Well, now,
let me get some clarification there, though. Do we as a channel like YouTube, or do we tolerate YouTube? I mean, we use it because it's where the people are.
Is there anything
we have to go where the people are?
Is there anything you'd change on YouTube?
I think the interface is very clunky.
DMCA system.
There you go.
DMCA.
Digital rights.
Their digital rights. Yep. Twitch is going to eventually have that too. Once people are storing content as their own, that's not so much YouTube as it is content protection.
Their system is.
They could handle it better, though.
Yeah.
Sure.
You asked.
I understand they still have to comply with the DMCA, but they could handle it much better.
Yeah.
Sure.
And just the whole interface, you know, it's not user friendly.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I guess we get used to it. We know where we need to go for stuff.
Exactly.
From a performance standpoint, I mean, I'm not hindered by anything on it. Some of the mobile stuff I wish would be a little bit easier to find. But it'll be really interesting to see what Twitch does and what they offer to, like I said, the content creators to try to justify people going from one to the other. So that will be interesting.
I have to say that there really isn't much of a place to think. There's one video site that comes to the top of my head that if YouTube were to go down, where people could go, but you know, that's really not a mainstream site. So, I mean, Twitch really did get kind of that niche foothold, and now they need to. They're working on building a home in it, or where they put their foot down.
I agree. Very cool. Well, moving on from digital to practical or physical, Tesla has finally announced the Model X, and here's everything we know about it. It will be all-wheel drive. It is a 7-passenger SUV. Tesla's definitely got a surge in sales as a result. It is more popular with the female drivers. Let's see here. Base price of the unit, a cool $132,000 for the Signature Series, which includes add-ons like autopilot mode and heated steering wheel and seats. A less expensive $35,000 Model 3 sedan is expected to come out in 2017. Let's see, 0 to 60, 3.2 seconds. And again, similar range to the current model?
Model S.
Model S, 250 miles before the battery needs a recharge. So that's just a taste.
Yeah, there was some interesting stuff that came out about this week as well. Obviously, being Tesla, I got excited.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. It looks really cool. The price tag is steep. I won't be getting one anytime soon. But the couple interesting things that stood out to me is the air handling system has a bioweapon defense mode.
Nice.
Like, seriously, this is being reported by TechCrunch. Let me see, where is it? Elon tweeted that it gives you hospital level air quality. So there's, you know how in a car you have generally two modes for your air conditioning, right? You have air intake, where it takes the air in from the outside and conditions it.
Yes.
And then you've got the recirculation mode, which is, you know, air from inside the car, but it doesn't really completely seal off well. Apparently, Tesla is going to introduce a third mode, which is this bioweapon defense mode.
Is that what they're calling it?
It's
just like air purifier.
From what I can find, it's seriously bioweapon defense mode, and it's a biohazard symbol.
There's a way to sell your car.
Nice. Elon Musk claims that it would be able to get rid of toxins from biological weapons in the air.
That's aggressive.
And TechCrunch reporter who was at the Model X unveiling reports that Tesla had trouble getting air testing sensors to even detect a measurable level of particles. That's how good the filter was working. And apparently cracked some jokes about driving behind Volkswagens.
Yeah, that came out in the news, too, about them being a little bit more polluting than they should be.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't get into the details on that, but I'd see it's going on. Apparently J.D. Power and Associates is stepping up and saying that, you know, it's all fine and good that Tesla's coming out with these different models. They've got the sedan, they've got the Model X, they've got the Model 3 coming out. But they said in order for the company to be profitable, Tesla would need to increase its sales by hundreds of thousands of vehicles a year.
Sure.
I mean, we all knew that. We thought, you know, it's kind of a small market, although you wouldn't necessarily know that here in Southern California. You see them everywhere. And I wonder what these people do for a living, because I need to join them. But, yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
Well, in other related news, in an interview with a Danish TV show, Elon said that he is expecting, with the advancements that they're making in battery technology, that they are anticipating breaking 620 miles on a single charge within the next year or two.
Nice.
2017 for sure.
Nice. So just to give a scale as to the business Tesla does versus somebody like Ford. According to this article, Tesla is forecasted to sell 29,000 cars this year. Sounds like a decent amount. But then when you compare it to Ford, they're looking to sell 2.5 million vehicles this year.
Slight different scale.
And that's Ford. I mean, if it was Chevy, it'd be more like 3.5 million. That was a Ford joke. Now, it's interesting, though. I'm looking at some of the concept art and whatnot and the images they've got. The front door has this pretty standard door handle location. It's towards the rear of the door, implying that the door would open pretty standard with the industry standard. There's a word I'm thinking of, but I'm not figuring it out. However, the rear doors, the handle is at the front. It's in line with, it's actually adjacent to the front door handles. Now, in some concept art, it showed the rear doors pivoting up like a gull wing, like a DeLorean used to, or would.
Yeah, I saw a video on this, and it does, they do come up.
Now, there's a picture on Pinterest with Elon Musk talking about the Model X, and there's a physical vehicle behind him. And those handles do indeed match the concept renderings that this article is showing, which is kind of an interesting direction to me. You know, I mean, there's no other real benefit to doing it aside from it looks cool.
Well, actually, there is a benefit. They designed the doors, the rear doors. They are... they're essentially gull wing. It's Elon Musk, so he came up with his own name for it. But they're essentially gull wing doors.
Yep.
But they designed them to open in a very tightly confined space.
Yeah, given for how to describe this, the doors don't come up in an arch motion. The doors will come straight up in a line.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this one shows... Oh, okay, I think I see what you're saying. Looks like it's got like a double pivot then. So it hinges in two spots to take up less rotational arc.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's cool. I mean, people could
learn doing that, they were able to get a bigger door without taking up any more room opening.
Got it. I mean, or people could learn how to park. I mean, that's a thing too, but whatever.
Well, yeah. That's a whole nother discussion.
It is. Very cool. So not only is it out, it's got gullwing doors, and it's got a hazmat-rated
bioweapon defense mode.
That's kind of interesting and awesome.
I think he just used that to add an extra couple $1,000s under the price tag.
Well, at $130,000, I don't think he needed it. What I do like about the picture, though, is it looks like the Model S with just a, you know, they just took it to like a stretching photo editor and just made a couple tweaks. You know, it definitely fits in the Tesla world that we're used to. So that's cool. What's next? Wade, you got something?
What's next? How do you guys feel about an EA subscription plan on the PC?
Tell me more and let's discuss it.
Well, recently EA released a survey asking about certain subscription ideas for the PC, much like the EA Access on the Xbox One. Some of the questions were asked in the survey. Excuse me one moment. When should games be available in the subscription? And does the day they release, 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months? I think if you have to wait even a month for the game to be released, or after the game to be released, that's an issue. But whatever. Include games from these publishers, such as Activision, Bethesda, EA, obviously, Take-Two Interactive, and Ubisoft. And on here is the same page, or on the show notes, it's the same page I'm looking at. So you can see all the games that these companies or developers do put out. Should the service include indie games? Should the service include expansion packs? Include discounts on digital purposes? Digital purchases, sorry. Discounts on games and trials for upcoming games. You know, it goes on. And the subscription rate as well. I do believe, from what I know, that people aren't really too fond of Origin on the PC, and that doesn't have a subscription fee. But it is interesting due to that they are bringing in, four other developers for these games.
Yeah, but I guess if it's a subscription-based method, is it you pay a monthly subscription and you just have access to those games to play, or you pay a subscription and then also have to buy those games on top of that?
That was not stated, but yes, it is a monthly price for the games. And apparently if there are any discounts for the games, that you also have to buy the games.
It sounds like they're trying to do games as a service kind of thing. You know, like Spotify is with audio, or Netflix with movies, where you just subscribe and you get access to the game library and you play. And if you stop paying, you stop playing.
Yeah, people have been. This is very. So it's a very Netflix look into games.
I think I'm not necessarily opposed to the idea. I think the problem that they're going to run into is EA is not exactly known for being the best company.
Oh, yeah.
For customer service, you know? I don't...
Well,
yeah,
this,
I don't know. I like the idea. By the sounds of things, they're still trying to flesh this out themselves. This is a survey. It's not that they are going to do it. It's trying to see what the interest is in it.
And this comes from, you know, this is for PC, where the biggest distributor of games on the PC is Steam, and that doesn't have a subscription base.
No, right. But if EA's model
goodness,
is...
could you imagine if Steam went to
oh
a...
Oh, God.
$10 a month, $20 a month, and play all the games you want?
But it would have to give you access to all the games you want. That's the trade-off.
Yes.
Whereas right yes. now, Steam is free, and you buy the games you want to buy... that's the handoff. Now, if Origins or EA's potential Origin, you know, love child deal is a subscription for access and a buy the game on top of that, no one's going to be down for it.
Agreed.
You know, it's adding insult to injury. But if it is the Gamefly of digital distribution... and it's available for you to play through a, you know, verified, you know, cloud-based system, then great. Go for it. A lot of people would rather not spend $60 for a new title knowing they're only going to play it for 8 to 10 hours and then they're going to sell it back at half the price.
But I severely doubt that's the case they're going for, because they do ask... Yes, that's actually where the question was that. Number 6. Ooh, sorry. Log day for me too, which is a discount rate. So actually, that's...
Okay, but you know what? I could see that being an added benefit.
That, it could be the discount for the subscription price, now thinking about it.
Well, it could... And like I said, it's a survey, so we're taking a stab in the dark, but it could very well be you want to buy the game on day one as, you know, the normal person. It's $60. Now, if you're paying EA $20 a month for this subscription service and you want to own this particular game, then you get a discount for being a subscriber. I think they would be stupid to go completely one way or the other. I'm on board with them offering a subscription package where you pay monthly to access their entire catalog, as long as they also keep, you know, retail pricing. Maybe I don't want to pay $20 a month to access their entire catalog because I only like one EA game. Well, in which case, I'm going to pay the $60 to buy it once and not pay monthly.
Okay, but you know? How long are you going to play that one game? You'd have to subscribe for 6 months to justify it. Instead of paying $10 for 1 month, you play it, you're done with it, maybe you dabble in other things, and you move on.
That's a good point.
You know, so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like Netflix, you pay your monthly subscription, you have access to everything they upload, for the most part, whenever you want. If they're going to mimic that feel, then great. But they have to have a way where... Like you said, Brad, you can either buy it and own it, and no matter what you do with EA, they can't take it away from you. Or you pay your subscription, and the game is only playable when it cross-references that you're an active subscriber, and you can play it through some sort of verification system. And that way, in that case, you're essentially just renting it for the $10 subscription.
And if you do that, then, you know, all our previous objections and podcast rants about DRM becomes a moot point. Of course there's DRM. You're renting it.
Yes.
You know, at that point, even I have no problem with it.
But here's...
Yes,
you know,
I'm renting it. It's going to check to make sure I'm still renting it.
Yeah, but to the list that Wade's doing, and I think the big point that I have right now is... If I'm paying EA $10 a month and I want to buy the new Assassin's Creed game through their system, and it's $60, but I like that series and I want to own it. So I pay the $60 through, or whatever price they offer, through their system. If I have to pay that retail price on the game and I decide to stop subscribing to EA system, if I lose access to that game because I'm not a subscriber anymore, that's going to be a big issue.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I can't see that they would do that, because that would just be... That would be marketing suicide.
Completely.
This is EA.
It is EA.
But of course, I was just going to say, this is EA, so that's entirely possible.
You know, so I mean, if they're going to offer it at a third or at half the price, but you have to stay verified with them, then you get into a little bit softer pain point. So, yeah, I mean, this is a survey. They're not doing this yet. They're asking people for their input. It'll just be interesting which way they decide to go, with the subscription base or just a distribution platform.
I mean, there is a decent amount of games, and it's all from these five developers, but, you know, is it enough to justify the price? I mean, I just hope they're not going to use this and say, this is the only way you can get these five developers' games.
Oh, that would be marketing suicide for those five developers.
Yep.
Because Ubisoft does not need EA.
Yep.
Well, is the reason that these developers on there are... wow, I can't get the...
You English good right too?
Here. No, I'm not Englishing very good. The developers that were listed, is EA their publisher? Is that why they're
Hold
there?
Please. Acquisitions.
The interns are checking.
Here we go. Yeah. Yes, they are.
Holy crap. Wow.
Wait for it.
You don't really realize how much buying and selling goes on in the gaming thing until you bring up a list of it. It's like, geez.
Well, I'm not saying that EA owns Ubisoft, although they may, but is EA their publisher?
I severely doubt it. I mean, I severely re-look into it. You know, does EA own Bethesda, Ubisoft, Activision, and Take-Two? I severely doubt it.
Okay. February 2015, EA's largest acquisition is purchasing of VG Holdings Corporation, then owner of video game developer BioWare and Pandemic Studios, for $775 million. Of the 39 companies acquired by EA, 20 are based in the U.S., 5 in the U.K., 6 in the continental Europe, and 8 elsewhere. Some of these companies and their respective studios, however, are now defunct. Of the 6 companies which EA purchased a stake in, 2 remaining companies are based in the U.S., while 3 of the U.S. companies are defunct. After acquiring a 19.9% stake in France-based Ubisoft in 2004, EA sold a remaining 14.8% stake in 2010. So they own, it sounds like they still own about 5% stakes in Ubisoft.
Right.
Yep.
So there's a very real possibility that the particular developers listed there have a tie.
What were some of the other ones, Wade?
In some way.
Bethesda, Ubisoft, Activision, and Take-Two Interactive.
Okay. Take-Two. I'm not seeing any of those.
It's Take-2, the word two, not...
I'm not seeing that under any of their acquisitions or stakes. But that might be under a different umbrella. You know, that might be owned by somebody that they've got stuff in. Because EA has, they own or did own DreamWorks Interactive video game developer, Studio 33. Let's see here. Digital Illusion, Headgate Studio, Supercomputer International. That sounds familiar for some reason, but I'm not sure.
Mm. PopCap Games, that's really...
ESN, they own ESN.
Who's ESN? Which one's that?
Electronic. Not sure. It's It's like a network. It's like a gaming network. Social gaming product developer. So I think maybe that's a, like a mobile app or something. Anyway, they got a lot more stuff than I was that I thought they had.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're making a purchase of $775 million back in 2000 earlier this year, clearly as bad as they are to work for or deal with, they're still making plenty of money through their affiliations and stakes.
Oh, absolutely. So,
as much as
we, did you say one of them was Take-Two?
No, Take-Two Interactive was the one of the ones that is being offered in, well, highlighted in the survey.
Their potential distribution method.
That's interesting, because there's some bad blood between those two. EA tried to do a takeover of Take-Two.
Yeah, they're not, again, Take-Two's not coming up under their acquisitions or stakes. But that doesn't mean the company that owns Take-Two isn't now somehow tied in. So I just don't know what that is.
Well, and let's see, that the games on for Take-Two are the two most recent Civilization games.
Grand Theft Auto.
Max Payne 1 through 3, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, and 5. Mall Tycoon,
Bioshock,
Age of Wonders, Evolve, Tropico 5, Borderlands 1 and 2, NBA 2K15, Bioshock, Bioshock Infinite, XCOM, yep, and Red Dead Redemption.
Some big names.
Yep.
Well, these are going to be decently big games, because these guys are mostly, well, they're all AAA developers. You know, each and every one of these guys, you probably have a game from them in your collection, at least one.
So let's see here. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to go through a few lists of the acquisitions that EA has gotten that are now defunct.
Oh, God.
Batteries included, Origin Systems, Bullfrog Productions, Maxist, EA Pacific, Danger Close Games, Quick Lime Games, EA Chicago, EA Mythic, EA Phenomic, Pandemic Studios, Playfish, Dublin and Vancouver of PopCap Games, I'm guessing, Accolade, Empath Interactive, and Kodiak Interactive Software Studios are all toast. And it looks like maybe EA sold all the rights to Ubisoft, according to Wikipedia, but that may be only selling part of it. It's not clear.
Although one of the studios you listed there, Maxis, may be defunct, but their games live on. They're the original developers of all the sim games, SimCity, Sims, SimCopter, Sim.
Yeah, so everything. EA took them over, acquired everything, defunct the studio, and just put those titles under their own label.
Yep.
That's what happens in corporate takeover, ladies and gentlemen.
There's a lot of buying and selling. I'd say go look at the list for yourselves that we're looking at. It's substantial.
Yeah, it's gnarly. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of big price tags in here, too. Yep. I mean, $750 million, $200 million, $400 million, $775 million, $680. Those are the big ones. I mean, they sold their rights to Ubisoft for 68.9 million euro. Anyway.
So, all right. It's questionable if we will see this, but, you know, EA is EA. They apparently have enough money to do anything.
Yeah. So, if you can vote on the survey, is it a closed survey now, or is it still people
able to? There hasn't been any word on it so far. I think it's been just survey and sent out. No one has really said, oh, yeah, I said yes or this and no to this, so.
So I'd recommend jumping on, finding EA's Twitter. It's probably at EA or something.
It would not be surprised.
We're going to search that real quick.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, at EA on Twitter. I'm sure they got a Facebook page, whatnot. Reach out to them. Give them your insights. They've also got Electronic Arts UK at Electronic Arts, EA Sports, all that kind of stuff. So if you've got an opinion on this, let them know one way or the other. And speaking of Twitter and Facebook, we do encourage you to visit us at Abundance Knot on Twitter. We're a little over 300 followers, so you guys have been doing awesome. We're still trying to get up to that 500 for a $50 giveaway, so keep it up, and let's make it happen. Also, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/abundance.knot, for some casual discussions and topics and videos and all that kind of good stuff.
I will sweeten it. If we can get to 500 subscribers by Halloween, I will stream SCP Containment Breach on Twitch.
Ooh, there we go. A little Twitch action. All right. Anything else, Brad?
Nope. That's pretty much it for me.
All right, guys. Thanks again for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Keep on gaming.
That's a wrap.